Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Bros and Consoles podcast mini-series Solo Gaming Updates, episode 24, I believe. This is one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, on November 3rd. We'll just start off with a little bit of a different kind of thing here. Normally don't talk too much about, or try not to talk too much about other things besides video games, because obviously this is a video game-centric podcast around news and new releases and everything like that. But today's a little bit different, I'd say. Today is Election Day in the U.S. For those of you who are listening outside of the country, that's what November 3rd is essentially over here for us. We are currently just kind of waiting for everything to finish up in terms of, I guess, like final voting in person today. Probably be a little bit of time before we get all of the ballots counted from the mail-in voting because of the large amount of mail-in voting we've had this time around as well. But yeah, I know you guys probably aren't coming here for political kind of things, and I'm not fixing on like talking about those kinds of things either, but just to let you know that, you know, because I try to be as kind of real and upfront with people as I can in terms of the podcast, because if you guys are listening, you guys are you know, friends and family and stuff, not just kind of like strangers, or at least I'd like to think that's kind of how you guys feel about it. I like this to be more of a kind of talk between like friends and family and things like that, rather than just, you know, me just speaking into a microphone and not caring about the people on the other side of it who are listening. So I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm a little stressed out just because of everything that's been going on lately. But I'm trying to just kind of push those things away and just focus on gaming for the most part, because that is kind of something that helps me cope with these things. Hopefully you guys all out there in the U.S. Who are stressed out about these things, and those of you who are not in the States and are stressed out about things in your own countries and kind of all around the world and stuff, hopefully you all have kind of different things that can keep you busy, keep you sane during these difficult times. Hope everyone is staying healthy as always and finding ways to entertain yourself and, you know, keep things semi-normal in this crazy year we have in 2020. But yeah, let's go ahead and finish it off right about there. I just want you guys to know that if you guys do need to talk, we're always available to email into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. Whether it's about video game things or just life things in general. Also have my messages and everything open on Twitter @IndieRonan, and if you want to play some video games together to kind of get away from all the madness, I am IndieRonan on PSN as well. And Michael is a side quest, all smushed together, just like IndieRonan is on there. All right, so with that stuff all out of the way, I hope you guys are all doing well. This is the first episode of the week here. We are officially, I'm going to keep doing this countdown because I'm excited about it. We're officially, 9 days away from the launch of the PS5, and I am very excited about that. That is one of the only things I'm like super looking forward to in the near future right now, because let me tell you guys, it's been a full 7 years almost since the last console launch. And actually, yeah, right around that time is basically when I had moved over to Oregon originally, and so that's kind of been a good chunk of my life in general, in terms of kind of being in a different state, being away from kind of friends and family and stuff, and just keeping myself busy with video games and all different kinds of things there. That's kind of essentially when I really got into gaming as a whole, which is maybe hard to believe for some people listening, because I've, as some people that know me personally have kind of known about me, I've been playing video games since I was around like 4 or 5 years old, I believe. But in terms of kind of like playing the types and like variety of games that I currently play now and enjoy now, it's definitely widened ever since about 7 years ago when I bought a PS3 in kind of a preparation for also buying a PS4 that holiday season. That's also, I believe, when I started listening to podcasts Beyond as well. Beyond, to all you Beyond listeners out there. And I think kind of that was my foray into essentially the vast like world of PlayStation, as well as just kind of the gigantic like world of video games that I had been essentially missing out on, because, you know, I played a good deal of things. I played a lot of like RPGs as a kid. I played a lot of kind of like shooter games, things like Halo, and never was really into Gears of War. That wasn't really my jam, but a lot of like multiplayer things as well, Call of Duty kind of stuff. But I think before 2013, I was probably what I would consider to be more of like a moderately casual gamer, if that makes kind of sense. Kind of in between that like casual sense where, like, you know, the people who maybe only play like a few games out of the year, and it's kind of just like those ones on repeat over and over again. So especially like the multiplayer type of things like Fortnite and Call of Duty and stuff like that. But that's really where I started to kind of widen things out, because I was playing quite a bit of things on the 360, but not a, like a gigantic selection of things like how I do currently in gaming, just because back then I wasn't super into indie games, which is kind of maybe surprising for some people to hear. After all, my name is Indie Ronin on most platforms now, so that's probably a little bit surprising, and it's a little shocking to kind of think back on myself as well. Like, I forget that I generally played most of the bigger releases, and occasionally like the, like, you know, occasional AA title or things like that, but indie titles, I think for the majority of things, had probably passed me by. But yeah, it's really cool to kind of see or think back about where things were 7 years ago at the launch of the PS4, and kind of how things are currently in terms of the impending launch of the PS5, which is, like I said, very exciting. I'm looking forward to starting up Miles Morales, and I had some gas there in my throat. Looking forward to starting Miles Morales and, of course, Demon's Souls as well. I'm really interested because I've like recently played Demon's Souls a little bit, and looking at kind of how the PS3 version looks, I'm very excited to see how the PS5 version will look and feel as you play it, because, man, playing the PS3 one definitely feels like a relic in terms of Souls games. You know, besides the fact that it's the first Souls game that kind of like started the entire fad of that style of gaming. But along with that, just kind of like seeing the different, you know, like rough edges of the game itself, and kind of seeing the things underneath that, you know, really got people excited about that type of gameplay and that type of game style and whatnot. I think it's pretty cool to see that we're going to have a hugely like remastered version of that coming out very soon. So looking forward to those two things. Of course, I am a little bit worried in terms of kind of getting everything on time. I assume, just like myself, like there's going to be a lot of people who are worried about, you know, systems coming in on time, hopefully being able to kind of start those things as soon as we get them and whatnot. But, you know, it's just kind of one of the things that you have to deal with at a launch of a console, especially in a new generation kind of thing. So keep my fingers crossed and toes crossed and everything else there. Hoping for good luck in terms of getting that package here on time. More recently, some of our packages have had a difficult time getting here, but that was more of an issue with FedEx rather than an issue with, you know, just delivery kind of things in general. It was a strange time for packages lately, but hopefully, fingers crossed, we will get the PS5 on November 12th and be able to start it up right away. And hopefully Amazon will also not be experiencing too much delays, just because the news has kind of mentioned, of course, understandably, that packages are going to start being, you know, difficult to get out there on time if you're trying to get things, especially for Christmas and whatnot, after Thanksgiving time, or Thanksgiving in the States, I should say. It's not really Thanksgiving everywhere, but It'll be interesting, though, to kind of see how everything plays out, and hopefully everything will work out just fine for those of us who are waiting for a console on that launch day. But besides that, though, in terms of some of the games I've been playing lately, I've played a few of them. Not quite as much as I would have liked, of course, but, you know, there's always more that we want to do. So one of the ones that I did get to play for the first time, it's been something that I've looked at for a while, because on psnprofiles.com, they have the Trophy Advisor section, and that area kind of shows you, essentially, it shows you the trophies that you would have the easiest time earning in terms of kind of like rarity on the PSN profile servers and whatnot. So if a gold trophy or something has like a 90% achievement rate on the website there, they will kind of let you know, like, hey, you could probably go into this game and pop this pretty quickly. So I was kind of looking through that. I'll occasionally look through it from time to time. And for a while, I've been seeing several trophies for a game called Cat Quest. And I was finally just like, you know what, let's just go ahead and try this thing out. Let's see what it's all about. So I booted it up. I knew kind of roughly what the game was like looking like and kind of very slightly like what the gameplay was going to be, but didn't realize quite how much I was going to actually enjoy this game. If you guys are interested in Cat Quest, wow, tongue-tied over here, it's something worth checking out in terms of kind of like more indie titles. The gameplay itself, you're just a, you know, almost if you kind of think of similar to like 2D Mario a little bit, or Paper Mario a little bit, because you are kind of like a 2D figure on this kind of more, I guess, like, yeah, it's more like a 3D world, basically. You kind of run around on the over map, and across the way will meet like monsters and bad guys and whatnot. You kind of fight against them with your melee weapon, as well as kind of spells that you will unlock throughout the game. In the early part of the game, you have like a wooden sword, and then you learn a fire spell pretty quickly. And basically, it's kind of from there, it's kind of off to the races in terms of just like getting into the combat, fighting monsters to gain experience. It is part RPG, part action adventure kind of thing. So the RPG section there, every time you beat monsters or finish quest lines and stuff, you will get experience points, and that kind of boosts you up into the next level. I think all in all, you can get up to level 99 in here. So very, very similar to an RPG in that aspect. But the gameplay wise, it's actually really surprisingly fun, because you get to kind of go into combat, you can start whacking away at enemies. They kind of have this meter, or I guess like indication kind of thing on the map that shows up when they're going to attack you, that it kind of shows a area in red. And as that area fills in totally like bright red, that's when you know the attack's about to happen. So if you can be outside of that area when the attack happens, you basically avoid the attack and can continue like walloping on the bad guys. Sometimes using your weapons and stuff will kind of delay them from starting up an attack as well, which is kind of a cool mechanic, almost kind of like a stagger in like some games kind of thing. But besides that, you kind of mix together this like melee combat and your spell usage, because using spells, like normal games, will use up kind of a bar that represents your magic power or magic ability, and then as you hit enemies with melee combat, you start to refill that magic area. So you don't have to worry about managing the magic with like potions and things, which is something I don't generally enjoy in RPGs. But kind of having this trade-off between like, okay, I'm gonna like hit this guy a few times, and then bam, I can use my spell, and then now I have to hit him some more to kind of recharge my ability to use my spells, and just kind of rinse and repeat there. So it's a fun way to kind of go through and play this game. Along with kind of, they have other options such as like dodge rolling out of the way. If you're in an attack combo and you want to get out of the way of an attack that's coming in, you can kind of try to roll out of the way real quickly. And then if you manage to escape it, it's kind of a good feeling there, because, you know, you're bobbing and weaving when it comes to this action adventure kind of stuff. So it's really cool so far. I like the writing as well. The writing is pretty goofy. It's kind of more on the, I guess, like, I don't know if I would say sarcastic side, but it's kind of like playing off of like tropes in video games and like RPGs themselves and whatnot. You kind of have this, or I should say, like, because it's called Cat Quest, right? All of the creatures in here that you've been meeting and whatnot are all cats. You find a kind of spirit cat as well, who follows you around and is talking to you. Your character is supposed to be kind of like the brooding, silent type kind of thing, so he doesn't actually say anything ever, but you're spirit cat character kind of follows you around and does the talking and whatnot. So I've been playing probably about like somewhere between like a half hour to an hour of that, just to pop some trophies and things. But fun gameplay so far. I'm gonna try and go back to that eventually to kind of see how far I can get through it. And looking at the like PSN profiles thing, it's actually pretty high in terms of percentage of people that have the platinum on the website. So I think it's just above 76%, which is pretty insane when you think about the, I guess, the type of games that usually have that type of high achievement rating is usually things more like along the I guess like shorter side, as well as kind of like Rod-like a game joints and Gendu Soft and things like that. Sometimes You is another publisher that has things in that nature. But this one, actually a pretty decent game, which is nice to find sometimes with these more, I guess, like easily attainable trophy lists and whatnot. So that's been pretty cool. I liked that game so far. Played a little bit of a game called Space Hulk as well. That one on the PS Vita. It's one that I have always like had for a long time and hadn't really ever given like a second thought because I never really looked into what the game was about and whatnot. Little did I realize that the game Space Hulk is actually a kind of tactical RPG, little less tactical than I would normally prefer, but also kind of has some elements of like board game kind of status in there, which is something that I didn't know about this thing at all. Also didn't know that this game basically takes place within the kind of Warhammer universe, which is a side area of like gaming and tabletop kind of RPG stuff that I've just never been into. And I need to clarify, it's mainly the Warhammer like 40,000 kind of thing. So like the futuristic space marines against like these demons and whatnot. So it's interesting where I'm like, okay, well, I like tactical type games. I wanted to play a tactics type game on the Vita, but I didn't know which one to do. There was some other options that I could have had, but I had to go and purchase those if that was the case. And, you know, I think since I own those games on the PS4, I'm kind of more reluctant to actually go and try and purchase those things. So at the time, I was just like, let's just try and see if I have any kind of thing that I can play through without having to buy more stuff. So look through the list of stuff that I could find online, and they mentioned the Space Hulk game. So I tried it out. It's interesting so far. Like I said, it's not as tactical as I would like. I kind of prefer being able to, I guess in my mind, like a more tactical RPG is kind of the style of where you like move your characters, and then you have kind of like attacks that have maybe different ranges based on the type of character you're playing. And then it's kind of all just about like placing your units in correct places in order to kind of survive the rounds and take out the enemies and whatnot. This one is interesting because you, like, for one, the maps are not super widespread, or at least the first map that I went into is not widespread at all. It's really just like corridors of this like spaceship kind of thing. And then the mechanics are different because you can only move about like four spaces with each character. And your movement and kind of like attacks or like action type of things are all kind of linked together under the same usage of action points. And that part kind of throws me off a little bit. I would prefer to just be able to move and then kind of choose what kind of thing I want to do rather than, you know, having to kind of do everything from one spot. Maybe if you're trying to do like a few different attacks, or if you're trying to like move, you can only move and you can't really do anything afterwards. So that's a little disappointing in terms of the gameplay. Another interesting thing that I saw though, going once again into the trophy talk, is that the game itself, looking at the I guess the achievement rating, I don't really know what to call it. It's like the percentage of people who have the platinum trophy on PSN profiles. Super, super small. I think there's like just over like 1,000 something people, maybe 1,200 people that have the game and have it registered on PSN profiles with their accounts. And then the number of people that I believe have the platinum trophy is, I think, only like 7, which is mind-boggling a little bit. When I look at that, it tells me that like, oh, this game is pretty probably pretty difficult to get the platinum for, and maybe not worth the time if it's not too fun to play it. But looking on the actual like PSN servers for the Vita and whatnot, it says that the completion of the platinum trophy is like 20, I think it's just over 21%, which, you know, pretty deeply surprised me, where I wasn't expecting it to be high. It's almost never higher on the PSN compared to basically like the what's that? The PSN profiles kind of servers and whatnot. It's almost always like, because the people who are on PSN profiles are hunting for trophies and whatnot pretty frequently, I would say. The people that are just kind of on the PSN regular, like the PSN proper and stuff, aren't always doing that. And so it's surprising that it's kind of flipped in terms of the like rarity of things on the original servers versus like the PSN profile servers. So that kind of gave me a little bit more hope in terms of maybe this being a doable kind of platinum. The catch there, though, is that I would actually have to play through this game, I believe, about 3 times. And playing what I've gotten into for the first mission so far, it's not totally my type of tactics game for the reasons that I kind of already mentioned. And so because of that, I don't know how much more I'm going to play of it. It may be something that I just kind of put down and hold off for like a time where I'm really into the mood of, you know, progressing that story and whatnot. But so far, I'm not really feeling it too much. Sorry if there are Space Hulk fans out there and you guys are now just kind of going like, go play it, Nathan. But if that is the case, let me know. Because if I'm missing something here that would make me enjoy the game more, definitely let me know so that I can try it out and hopefully get into it for real. But until then, I'm just going to keep playing the game that I have been playing since the 29th when it came out. And that is Watch Dogs Legion. So I kind of had a little bit of a talk with Michael where I came to realize as we were talking that in terms of different Ubisoft franchises, I think going through the different ones there, like I've fallen off the train, and I kind of told this with Michael as well, I've fallen off the train of kind of multiple franchises that Ubisoft kind of owns and produces games for and stuff all the time. Some of those being games like the Far Cry series, where I was really into Far Cry 3 and 4. I even platinumed Far Cry Primal, I believe, kind of the one that came right after 4, before 5, but kind of didn't really click to continue on after there. Like, I never really got into Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. I didn't really get into Far Cry 5, even though some parts I was more interested in than others. I think I needed to spend more time with the game and just didn't really want to at that point. And then, of course, I've never played Far Cry New Dawn, but and we have Far Cry 6 coming out soon, which I liked the trailer for, but I'm just not sure how into that like franchise I am anymore. I feel like I've kind of grown past that series in general, where it's just not kind of resonating with me as it used to. Along with that, the Assassin's Creed series is something I was really into for a long time. I think the last main series entry that I finished was Unity, I believe. Kind of focused around France, basically. And other than that, I've kind of dabbled in a few that came afterwards. I dabbled a little bit in Rogue, which I guess technically came out around the same time as Unity. Dabbled slightly in Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and then a little bit in Origins, and a little bit in Odyssey as well. The issue there is that, like, I want to play Odyssey, but I also want to go through Origins first, and I was playing some of Origins and then eventually got, you know, just kind of, I think, a little bit bored, honestly. So I'm not sure if it's just that I need to kind of push through and get really invested in the stories, or if they're just kind of not hooking me as they once did. In a similar fashion, though, I was really excited on the Assassin's Creed Valhalla trailer. So I think Ubisoft does trailers really well, but when it comes to the actual like series, they don't always grab me, and I sometimes kind of fall off the trains there. However, though, Watch Dogs as a series, I think, is one that I've kind of come to realize is probably one of my favorite franchises from Ubisoft, which is kind of surprising. I think second only to the Splinter Cell series, basically. And people listening that have heard me talk about Splinter Cell before, you guys know how into those like stealth games I am. And maybe it's because Watch Dogs has a little bit of that kind of stealth aspect to it, depending on how you want to play the game. It also kind of has that cool like futuristic aspect where you can kind of plan your, I guess, like routes and like ways of kind of tackling different levels and whatnot, depending on the kind of skills you build up and things. And maybe that's kind of why I vibe with the Watch Dogs universe more than the other games that I've played from Ubisoft, is because like Assassin's Creed has some elements that I think were kind of brought over into the Watch Dogs franchise in terms of kind of like allowing the player to have kind of choice in terms of like the path that they want to take through a level. And then also kind of the stealthy aspect, maybe not always going up and kind of like taking people down and interrogating them and stuff, but definitely kind of like the stealth takedowns and being able to actually like sneak your way through a level without having to like get rid of any enemies, which I think is really fun as well. So it's been fun going back into a Watch Dogs game after so long. I believe I did platinum numbers 1 and 2. 2 was definitely my favorite out of those two games and whatnot, but I'm not quite as down on Aiden Pierce as a character as I think a lot of other gaming outlets were, or maybe just kind of that was the vibe I was getting from people at the time, is that he was very much so like not people's favorite type of character and whatnot. But going into this one for Watch Dogs Legion, it's been interesting because I originally started up the game regular. They have an option in there for turning on permadeath, which is something that they ask you about in the very beginning before or when you're starting a new game. And they mentioned that if you turn it on, you can always turn it off anytime during your playthrough. But if you turn it off, it stays off and you can't turn it back on. So originally I started it with it off because I was like, I don't know if I like the idea of that. But after playing through the prologue mission and kind of getting to choose my first character and whatnot, I realized that, like, you know, part of what made Watch Dogs 2 special was one of the missions in there that had some kind of pretty dire consequences for your character and, like, his, like, teammates and stuff. And so I liked the idea of having kind of more dire consequences in terms of the gameplay of Watch Dogs Legion, because you're like they said in the kind of lead up to the game, your ability to play as anyone in the game is definitely like a big factor here. And so I don't want these to just be random like Joe Schmo hacker dudes 27 kind of thing. I want them to be like characters that I am invested in. So I think after thinking about it that way, I decided to turn on permadeath. So I just started a brand new game because I was only like through the prologue mission. And I don't know the name of the first character that I chose, unfortunately, because when I started a new game, I had the idea that it was probably going to give me another random selection of characters to choose from. So I ended up choosing a new character for the playthrough that I'm going through at the moment. His name is Marshall, which is I think is a pretty cool name. I didn't get to choose the name. They all come with names and whatnot, but I'm excited about the game so far. I've been kind of avoiding main mission type of things until like just a few hours ago, I'd say, and mainly just kind of like exploring around London, trying to kind of figure out how the game plays and whatnot. And of course, along the way, getting a little bit nervous because sometimes I will get into dicey situations where I'm scared that I will end up like dying, because if you take too much damage, your character just dies when the permadeath thing is on. There's no like reboot, restart kind of thing. And if you run out of operatives, which is a possibility, then you essentially just kind of get game over and you have to go back. I'm not sure if that means that if in the beginning, if you were to die like pretty immediately and stuff, if you would just start the game from scratch kind of thing. But it does kind of give me this sense of, you know, like dire importance in terms of like making sure I am carefully planning out my route and taking down enemies carefully and stuff, avoiding confrontation when I can, using my hacks to like the fullest of their abilities and whatnot. But I like that kind of style so far. It's something that I tend to do, I think, naturally anyways. I don't tend to run in guns blazing most times. And it does like frustrate me when I accidentally get seen and whatnot in other games, even when there's no consequences to it. So like in those ones, you could always just like reset the level or restart the checkpoint kind of thing for a lot of things. And that's usually, I think, what I would do if I get seen. So in this sense, where I think there is no kind of like reset button, if I do get seen, I have to try and make an escape now and hopefully be able to get away, because I don't want Marshall to get taken down. I want him to hopefully survive throughout the entire game. And if I lose, you know, other members that I've recruited along the way, then that'll happen, and I'll hopefully be able to avenge them and things within the video game. But it's been fun so far. I'm definitely enjoying my time in it. It's also a little, I guess, like somewhat hitting home in terms of kind of the state of things at the moment. The idea of kind of like government being like too big and too powerful, and kind of being afraid of losing like freedoms and things like that, is something that I think resonates with a lot of people in different ways. Some people experience it way more vividly than others, but you know, sometimes in like our regular world, we may feel like powerless and stuff. And I think being able to go in Watch Dogs Legion and try and do good and take down people that are corrupt and whatnot, I think is it's an interesting experience for like the time that we're living in at the moment, compared to when this game comes out and everything. So, or has when this game came out. So it's been fun and also a little bit, helpful in the like stress relieving department as well. So if you guys are interested in trying it out, definitely do that. The game is going to be available on the new consoles and stuff as soon as the new consoles launch. If you bought the PS4 or Xbox One version, you get an auto upgrade to the next gen version as well, which is nice. And if you were lucky to pre-order it ahead of time, you can, I think some people saved money on that. I know I saved about like $20 getting it via Amazon, just because at some point, I think when I originally pre-ordered it, it was $49.95. And then at some point in there, it went down like another $10. So that was kind of a nice surprise there. But I'm definitely foreseeing this will probably keep me busy at least until the new consoles launch, because this is going to be a long game experience here. I'm also gonna pepper in some other things there, like possible streams and things on YouTube, and of course like studying for medical board kind of things. But you know, we'll kind of put everything in its proper places, make sure we got the priorities in the right places. Obviously the studying has to take precedent, and then hopefully be able to let you guys know on what kind of new projects and things are going up as I get them out and whatnot. If you guys want updates that aren't coming out through the podcast, feel free to follow me over on Twitter at IndieRonan. You can also just follow if you wanted updates for the YouTube stuff, I think the link itself is youtube.com/KANNancyAE17. That's Kanaya17. And if you're not finding it there, just search IndieRonan on there. It's IndieRonan with a space in between. So I think that's pretty easy to find there. And then that way they can let you know about when videos go live, because I don't have a set schedule for that at the moment. I'm just kind of putting them out when I do have time to record them. Also got to make sure that I'm able to record in a way that basically is not interrupting my wife's work and everything too. So gotta be careful with the kind of use of the living room and whatnot, you know. But I hope you guys are all doing well. Like I said before, stay safe. Make sure you guys are staying healthy, eating well. You know, trying to get in some exercise and things when you can. And then of course, take care of yourselves. So I will see you guys again in a couple days for the Thursday episode. Until then, I look forward to hearing questions from you guys. Always open on the emails, brosandconsoles@gmail.com. Thank you guys for listening, and I will see you guys next time. Peace out.